On today's show, Porsche comes up with a clunky name for the Mission E, the UAW could have a raucous convention on its hands, and hub motors for electric cars could revolutionize automotive design. All that and more coming right up on Autoline Daily. This is Autoline Daily, the show for enthusiasts of the automotive industry. Delegates from the UAW are meeting in Detroit this week to select new officers to run the union, and it could be a tumultuous convention. A cloud of corruption hangs over the union, with several union officials convicted of embezzling money from training centers, and others are under investigation. Some FCA workers feel that the UAW was bought off by the company and that their contract is not as good as it should have been. There's also a strong contingent of Trump supporters in the union who do not like the political position of the UAW, which exclusively supports the Democrats. But Dennis Williams, the outgoing president of the UAW, recently praised Trump's tough talks on raising tariffs on imported cars. And we've never seen that before, a UAW president praising the policies of a Republican president. When Porsche unveiled the concept version of its electric vehicle, they called it the Mission E. Not a bad name. But when the production version debuts, it will be named the Taycan. Some wag already nicknamed it the Tin Can. Porsche says that the Taycan means a lively young horse, which is a reference to its logo. The Taycan will have over 600 horsepower and a 300-mile range, and it goes on sale near the end of 2019. In racing news over the weekend, Sebastian Vettel dominated the Canadian Grand Prix in his Ferrari, and he also took the lead in the Drivers' Championship by 1 point. But the race was a bit of a snooze fest in that the top three finished exactly as they qualified. Meanwhile, the IndyCar race at the Texas Motor Speedway was an action-packed spectacle that saw Scott Dixon take his Honda-powered car to first place and move into the championship lead. Dixon now has the third most wins in IndyCar racing behind only A.J. Foyt and Mario Andretti. And Clint Bowyer won the rain-shortened NASCAR race at the Michigan International Speedway in his Ford Fusion. In fact, the Stewart Haas team took the top three positions in Fords. Still to come, a look at a new e-axle for military and commercial vehicles.
Autoline Daily is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires, your journey, our passion. Dow Automotive Systems, advanced materials that deliver better results. And by Lear, a global leader in automotive seating and electrical systems.
The supplier company AxleTech just introduced an e-axle concept for heavy-duty trucks. It bolts electric motors directly to the axle, which eliminates the need for an engine and any gearboxes. It can be used with full battery electric vehicles, fuel cell range extenders, or ICE range extender vehicles. It's for vehicles with a gross combination weight rating of up to 58,000 pounds. The axle was also designed for military vehicles and has the ability to provide improved stealth characteristics, lower heat signatures, and improve fuel savings to logistics vehicles, tactical vehicles, and armored personnel carriers. And speaking of electric propulsion, hub motors could revolutionize the way that cars are designed. Hub motors are electric motors mounted in the hub of the wheels of a vehicle. If the batteries or a fuel cell is mounted in the floor of the vehicle, it frees up tremendous space for the interior. ELAF is the name of a Slovenian company which claims to be the global leader of hub motors. It's showing its latest system in a BMW X6 and says it's ready for mass production. Each motor is mounted between the rim and the brakes and can produce up to 100 kilowatts. To put that in perspective a little, the Chevy Bolt EV has one 150-kilowatt electric motor. In-wheel electric motors also get rid of friction losses in the driveline, and theoretically, hub motors could even eliminate the steering and the brakes. Honda's coming out with a couple of retro-styled motorcycles, the Monkey and the Super Cub C125. The Monkey, which harkens back to the early 1960s, has a 125cc single-cylinder four-stroke engine, available ABS, and starts at $3,999. The Super Cub C125, which looks like the bike that launched Honda in the American market in the late 1950s, has a 125cc air-cooled single-cylinder engine with fuel injection, standard ABS, and it starts at $3,599. Coming up next, General Motors explains how it was able to make the steering in the Super Cruise so smooth.
Lighter, safer, stronger, quieter, and more sustainable. Tell us where you need to go, and we'll help you get there. Dow Automotive Systems. We don't succeed unless you do.
We recently got to test Cadillac's semi-autonomous Super Cruise system in the CT6. One of the things that impressed us was how smooth the steering is. Similar systems from other brands tend to be a bit herky-jerky through the corners. On last week's Autoline After Hours, we were joined by Jason Dittman, the chief engineer of the Super Cruise, and he explained how they achieved that smooth steering.
We try to draw this imaginary line right down the center of the road in between those two lane lines, and we use inputs from the front camera. We use information from the 3D map that we have on the car that we get lane width and slope. Curvature of the road, we have entrance and exit ramps marked so we know where they are, because if you're in the right-hand lane and you've got an exit going off to the right, in some locations, that right-hand lane line disappears. Mm-hmm. Because we have that tagged in the map, we control based on the left-hand lane line. So we go to great lengths to have multiple inputs that are fused together to steer that trajectory right down the center of the road.
Be sure to join us again this Thursday for Autoline After Hours, when we will take a deep dive into an electric Ford Transit that was developed by a company called Lighting Systems. But that's it for today's report. Thank you for watching, and please join us again tomorrow.